Guys, ready? All right. So last week I began to share some things with you, just some thoughts and ideas about stirring up our sense of wonder at the things of God. And I enjoyed, because I enjoy wonder. He's given me a childlike wonder so many times, and I love those things. And I want us to just take steps into more of that childlike wonder, to put aside the reasoning, the thoughts of the natural mind, and to really begin to experience some of those things that come from that passion of childlike wonder. And it's been my experience, and I've told you this multiple times, it's been my experience that God responds to our childlike sense of wonder with intimate and personal insights and revelations for us. We also saw last week there's a correlation between our childlike sense of wonder at God, at His creation, at His Word. There's a correlation between our sense of wonder in that and our being able to begin to see signs and wonders around us and even through us. So this morning, I want to start with a very small example of these things that we're talking about, just as a way of kind of awakening our sense of wonder this morning as we go deeper into the words about wonder and what wonder has for us. So this is the verse from Proverbs. This is Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. The Lord's created us with ears and eyes, all the senses, so that we can perceive and understand this creation that He's given us. Let's just look at the ear for a second. It's just one element of the ear. God created you with an ear, and all of hearing starts with your eardrum. Your eardrum is the thickness of a piece of paper. But your eardrum has an amazing sensitivity to vibrations. So as I'm speaking to you right now, my voice is actually pushing air molecules, and each air molecule is hitting another air molecule, and it's creating a cascading effect outward. And that sound wave, when it reaches your ear, vibrates your ear. That's the beginning of the whole process of understanding or hearing. And it's just an amazing, if you ever took the time, I don't know how any unbelieving doctor or scientists can look at how the ear is created and say that this just happened by evolution. They must be red-faced when they try to say that and convince themselves of it. I don't have time to go through it all. But sometimes just learn how the ear works. But it all starts with the eardrum. Now, how sensitive did God create your eardrum to be? Your eardrum is so sensitive that the vibrations, it's so sensitive to vibrations, that if there is a vibration that moves your eardrum, just this little bit, if a vibration moves your eardrum just the width of a hydrogen molecule, which is the smallest molecule that exists, if there's a vibration that moves your, just causes your eardrum to vibrate that much, your brain detects it as sound. That can't just happen. That is detail. That is sensitivity. God's given us that ability to hear. God also gave us eyes. He created eyes, our eyes. And your retina has the same equal amount of sensitivity so that you can see. How sensitive is your retina? Well, a single photon of light. A single photon. That is so small you can't even conceive it. It's one small particle that's riding on an electromagnetic wave. One single photon is all it takes. One photon of light in your retina triggers a visual signal in your brain, and you begin to process exactly what that photon is beginning to show or illuminate. It's just astonishing. God created each one of us to be sensitive to His creation. But God also gave us spiritual ears and spiritual eyes so that we would have the same level of sensitivity to see, to hear, to know those things in the spiritual realm, to see and hear the things of Jesus Christ in the throne room of God. This is what it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 10. And He said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Believers are supposed to, Believers are intended to understand the deeper things of the kingdom of God. You are designed to know and to understand the deeper things of the kingdom of God. And as we stir up, as we develop our sense of wonder at this creation that he has us living in right now, as we develop that sense of wonder, it prepares us to be able to see and understand the mysteries of his kingdom. Amen. And once we begin to understand those mysteries, then we get to see some of the signs and wonders. Then we'll begin to see and experience the signs and the wonders. Listen, your excited and anticipatory sense of wonder at the things that are around you, this is the beginning. It is the very beginning of seeing signs and wonders. Your sense of wonder is the beginning of seeing signs and wonders in this world today. Wonder, I told you this last week, wonder tells us to open up our minds to what we previously considered to be impossible. And once we do that, that is the very moment that we're open to we entertain the possibility of the things of the spiritual realm, those greater things of the spiritual realm, actually being manifested here in the natural realm. Then Jesus is able to bring those greater realities of the spiritual realm into this fallen world as signs and wonders. Make sense? It's a pretty easy logic to follow. Now we desire, we long to see signs and wonders. Jesus himself said, that you and I would do even greater things than he did as we walk in his power and in his victory. So why are we not seeing more of those things? Well, listen, it starts with the fact that we need to prepare our hearts and our minds. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves to see those things and experience those things. And it all begins by awakening your sense of wonder. Have a sense of wonder at the things that we just take for granted. You start to have a sense of wonder about those things. Then you start asking yourself questions. Well, why did God do this? How did Jesus do this? And when you start to seek and understand those things, everything that he reveals to you and shows you will give you a greater spiritual understanding of the things of the kingdom and his kingdom realm. Stir that sense of childlike wonder that we said last week he created in every single one of us. And it's still in there. It's still in there for each one of us. Let that sense of childlike wonder continue to grow. So we need to have that sense of childlike wonder in us. And Jesus actually starts to show us how we can prepare ourselves. He gives us an example of preparing ourselves for that childlike wonder. When Jesus was getting ready to heal the paralytic that was lowered before him through that hole in the ceiling, if you read through that, as he was getting ready to heal that man, Jesus challenged the scribes and the Pharisees. And he challenged them because they were not ready to embrace the greater things of the kingdom of God. And Jesus challenges them. Look at this. This is Luke chapter 5, verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" Those scribes and those Pharisees, they had no expectation for the miraculous. None. They were simply relying upon their own reasoning, their own perceptions. And their own reasoning and their own perceptions, those things, as it is for you and I, those things were limited by their knowledge and experiences in the natural world. They were not prepared. They were not ready to see the wonders of God. What about me? Am I ready to see great and mighty things in Jesus? This is what Jeremiah said. "Call to me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Call to me, I will answer. I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jesus loves to show us his kingdom. He loves to reveal who he is through his word and through this creation. He loves to show us what we do not know. And we limit ourselves because we think, oh, I can't possibly know those things. Take those limitations off. Have a sense of childlike wonder about everything. Have no limitations to what you have a wonder about. Have that sense of childlike wonder. What Jeremiah just said, that's an invitation to every single one of us. But listen to this. The truth of the matter is, living in this world and the trials of this life, those things suppress our childlike wonder. Those things keep us from moving ahead with childlike wonder. I need to come to a place where I can say, where I can once again become. I need to become a little child once more. I need to become a child of God in the sense of being a little child with Him once more. Because then I can allow my childlike sense of wonder to consider the possibilities that are beyond this natural realm, the things that limit us by the experiences of life. Make sense? Everybody still tracking with me? So, after Jesus healed the paralytic, people saw that. They saw the supernatural. And look at how those people responded to Jesus healing the paralytic. This is in Luke chapter 5, verse number 26, just a few verses later. An overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. And they recognized and praised and thanked God. And they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear. And they kept saying, we have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today. We can still see unthinkable things today that stir that sense of astonishment and ecstasy within us. Now that word wonderful in that verse, the word wonderful there, it means unexpected, it means strange, it means wonderful astonishment. But listen to this. It also means contrary to opinion, contrary to the expected. If we want to see signs and wonders, the supernatural, the miraculous today, if we want to see those things, our minds must be contrary to the accepted norm. We have to be open. We have to be expectant. We have to be ready to be amazed. How many days do you get up in the morning that you can say, I am ready to be amazed at what you have today? When's the last time you got up, not even saying that, but even having that thought in your mind or that anticipation within you? Get up tomorrow morning with a sense of excitement, a sense of being astonished, a sense to be amazed, with a sense of ecstasy at the things that Jesus wants to show you and reveal to you in your life and in the lives of others today. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Have that sense of expectancy, that sense of awe, that sense of wonder. Because as we develop our sense of wonder, as you develop your sense of childlike wonder, as you begin to develop that, then we begin to have an overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy at the things of this life and the things of this creation and the things that He does in our lives that we take for granted on a day. There are so many amazing and astonishing things around us every day that we just accept and we take it for granted and we don't even give it a thought. But if you would start to have a sense of wonder about those things and ask some questions and just let Him show you different things, He will reveal things to you that just show you those things we take for granted. You'll be astonished, amazed, a sense of ecstasy. Let me give you an example. And this is just a small example. I could go on and probably teach three messages on what I'm going to tell you in just the next couple of minutes, in the next few moments. Things that we take for granted that are every day around us. Light. If there's no light, have you ever been in a room where there is absolutely no light coming in? Man, darkness with no light is palpable. We just take for granted. Every morning we get up, the sun is there, we have light. We just take that for granted. We don't stop to think about how amazing it is that when you turn on a light, darkness is dispelled. Simple things. We don't think about that. Let me tell you a couple things about light, which are just astonishing to me. And this is from science, okay? Now, this is true spiritually, but this is what scientists even say themselves. Science says the speed of light is the only constant in the entire universe. Light is the only constant. Everything else has variables. Everything else is inconsistent and not constant. Speed of light, the only constant in the universe. Speed of light is 186,282 miles per second. 186,282 miles per second. How fast is that? Well, the moon is just shy of 240,000 miles. So if you had a light that was bright enough here on Earth and you shined it towards the moon, how long would it take for the light to get there? Turn your light on. 1,002. Oh, it's already there. That's astonishing. And the speed of light is constant. It never varies at all. Those numbers I gave you, that is the speed all the time. From the beginning of time to the end of time, that's the speed of light, the only constant. Now, John tells us that God is light. Amen. That means God is the only constant in this entire universe. Yeah. You can put your hope, your faith in man. You can put your hope and faith in government, in medicine, in education, in your own wisdom and knowledge. You can put your hope in any of those things, but all of those things will fail you because none of those things are constant. The only constants in this world that he created and that you live in, the only constants are God and his word, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why we have to put all of our hope, all of our faith, everything we have into that. Pretty amazing, right? Yeah. I'm going to share something else with you that I can't tell you all the connections because I don't know them, but I hope it spurs your sense of wonder to ask some questions about this. But the facts I'm going to share with you are astonishing in themselves about light. I just told you speed of light is constant, only constant in the universe. Time actually stops at the speed of light. Yeah, I know. See, these are the faces that I get as soon as you say something like that. But this is why we have to have a sense of wonder about that, because there's much that's in that. Time, and this is proven, time and time again, this is proven scientifically. Time stops at the speed of light. You can do easy tests to show you that just going faster, speed slows down time. It's a proven fact. You can easily have experiments that you could do at home that show and prove these things. And the faster you go, the more time slows down for you. Relative to you, time slows down. If you go fast enough, if you go to the speed of light, time stops altogether. Proven fact. So that made me think, just kind of interesting. So if I go back 6,000 plus years, it's the day after the fall of man. Adam and Eve have been exiled from paradise, from the Garden of Eden. It's the first day. It's the morning of the first day of the fallen world. Adam realizes he has brought and introduced sin and all the destruction that it brought into this world. I can't even comprehend what Adam must have been feeling like on that day. But think about this. On that first morning of the first day of the fall of the world, Adam's carrying all those emotions. But on that first morning, the sun rises over the horizon. First day of the fallen world. And Adam, with all of his insecurities, all of his uncertainties, all that he's carrying, he sees the sun rising up, and he feels those first rays of light on his face, warming him. And he gets that sense, that knowledge, the understanding, that even though he failed miserably, God is still present. God is still filling his promises, that God has a plan of redemption. And as he feels those warming rays of those first beams of sunlight on the fallen world, he has that hope once again. Now, here's the thing to ponder. That happened more than 6,000 years ago. Those first photons of light that were emitted from the sun in the fallen world, do you know how old those photons of light are that first touched Adam's face in the fallen world? It happened 6,000 plus years ago, so you'd say 6,000 years. Those photons that touched Adam's face, they're not even 1 second old. What? But this is proven scientifically. Now, have a sense of wonder about that, because that tells you, if you understand that, there's a lot you can learn about the timelessness of God and the things that are, and the things in heaven, how the differences are. There's so much, I don't have time to go into it. But it's an astonishing thing, and these are the things I just want to share with you. I want to spur your sense of childlike wonder in these things. Because as you start to ask questions, he will show you more. Develop your sense of wonder, and it begins. That leads to a sense of expectation. And once we have a sense of expectation, then we will begin to see the greater things, the deeper things. We'll begin to see and experience supernatural things, signs and wonders in this life. Yes. Yes, we will. So let's continue to build on this. You know, Charlie, there's a lot of times when I'm putting the word together that I just think, okay, right there is a time to say, Selah. Just pause and think about those things. Man. So let's build upon these things. Consider the moment or the time when Jesus rose from the dead, that man in the city of Nain. He rose that man, that son of his mother. He rose him from death to life. And the people who saw that, they saw the supernatural, they were in awe. I want to read those verses to you from Luke chapter 7. Now it happened the day after that he went to a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And he came near the gate of the city. Behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all of Judea and the surrounding region. Man, there are so many things that you can touch on there, but for our purposes, here's what I want you to notice today. Notice that when Jesus rose that man from death back to life, that the Bible makes sure that you understand that that man sat up and he began to speak. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he said, but I can well imagine what he must have been talking about. Because this man had died. His soul had left his body. He was taken from this natural world into the spiritual. He had been in Sheol, the place of the dead, Abraham's bosom. And then suddenly, at the authority, at the power of Jesus, and the authority of his name, and the power of the Holy Spirit, he's taken from Sheol, the place of the dead, right back to this world, and he's sitting up and he's alive again. He sat up and he began to speak. I bet he had some wonderful things to share about what he experienced. And I bet that would have captivated the ears and the minds of those people who were sitting there, amazed that the dead man had sat up. Now they're listening to what he speaks. You and I, we may not have experienced wonders quite that dramatic, right? But if we are filled with awe, if we are filled with wonder, if we are filled with a sense of expectancy for all the things that we do experience here in this natural world, if we will have that sense of awe and wonder about those things, and if we will speak those things to others, anything that you have a sense of wonder on as you're seeking, share that and speak that with others. And then as he reveals things to you, share those things with others. As we speak those things, we then prepare ourselves to be positioned to be able to see and experience even greater things. Amen. I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice the similarities between the power or the suggestion or the importance of the spoken word in those verses and in these verses which David speaks to us. And when David spoke these verses, he's talking about the creation of God. Notice the significance of speaking in both of these. So this is Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows and proclaims his handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech. Night after night shows forth knowledge. There's no speech nor spoken word from the stars. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice in evidence goes out through the earth, their sayings to the end of the world. of the heavens has God made a tent for his son. If we will attune Amen. Our souls with a sense of childlike wonder to his creation will speak to you. And what his creation will reveal to you will always draw you closer to Jesus. You have a sense of wonder. His creation will speak to you. The things that it reveals to you will draw you closer to Jesus. And then this then prepares you to see greater things and to be used in greater ways as you walk through this life. Amen. These are the things that we should have. Man, stir up that sense of wonder that we have at the things of Jesus Christ. Allow that sense of wonder. And as you do that and you share those reports are going to go around the world, just like the speaking that was mentioned there. So our sense of awe and our sense of wonder, it points us to, it actually prepares us for the deeper things, the more astonishing things of his eternal kingdom. So I want you to see something. I want you to look at this. This is a painting of an ocean wave breaking over rocks at the ocean. I want you to see this for a reason. It's kind of hard to see it in all this light, but what astonishes me about this painting, what I love, and you could do this with any painting or any work of art. What astonishes me about this is I love the way the artist was able to capture the effect of light being diffused through this moving wave. And that's just astonishing to me. And look at everything about that painting. Look at the foam, the mist, the turbulence, the power. It's all expressed just in this painting. I mean, even the sheen of moisture on the rocks captures a real sense of reality. I mean, this is just for me, this is just a very, I don't know who the artist is, I've never heard of him. I don't know who he is, but this, to me, this piece of art, it's just an impressive piece of art. I'm impressed by it. But here's the thing, as impressive as this piece of art is, it pales by comparison to the actual experience, to the actual sensory experience of being at that place. Because if you're at that place, you actually can smell the fish, the seaweed, the brininess of the ocean. If you're actually there, you can smell that. You can feel the tactile senses of the sand as it's stuck to your skin because you're sweating and baking under the sun, that grittiness. You can feel that. You can taste. Been to the ocean? I know you experienced this. You can taste the saltiness in the air that's all around there. You can see. You can see all that in a 360-degree panorama. This just gives you one little slice. You can see the entire thing. You can hear the pounding of the waves against the rocks and against the shore. You can hear the pull of the surf as it's being taken back into the ocean. It's sensory experiences that you have when you're there. This, though, is part of the reason that I love art. This is part of the reason. This is part of the reason that I love art. Art is a shadow and a reflection of these natural things. Art gives us a glimpse into the fuller experience of the real thing. But here's the key. Art, it gives us a desire. It creates a desire in us to experience what the art portrays. You see that and you want to experience it. You want to go there. Art creates that desire to experience what it portrays. Don't forget that. Now, if I was to take that canvas with me, and I was to go to that spot, and I stood there in that spot, my attention, my eyes, all of my senses would be totally affixed to the actual real waves crashing on the ocean. They would not be paying any attention at all to the waves expressed on this canvas. Right? But here's the thing. The art is designed, and remember this, art gives us the glimpse, and art creates the desire for us to experience the natural realm realities. In the same way, the natural realm realities that we see and experience, those things are a shadow, those things are a reflection, those things give us a glimpse into the greater things of the kingdom of God. And so they should do the same thing. They create with us, within us, a desire to experience those greater things. It should make us want to behold. And remember, behold means to perceive in the spiritual realm. It should give us the desire to behold the greater things of the kingdom of God. Listen to this from Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. Such things are only the shadow of things that are to come. And they have only a symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it, belongs to Christ. Here's the picture. Art creates with us a desire. It gives us a glimpse of the natural realm, and it gives us desire to experience the natural realm. Things of the natural realm give us a glimpse and give us a desire for the greater things in the spiritual realm if we will develop that sense of childlike wonder at the things that we see there. So the things of the natural world, they're a shadow, they're a reflection of the greater things of the spiritual realm. In fact, science, the more science discovers, the more it just confirms the thing that God has already spoken to us in His Word. For example, consider what God said to Jonah. I'm sorry, to Job. Now, this is in Job chapter 38, verse number 16. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? That first part of the verse, that verse is revealing to us that there is springs of the seas. That means there's water that feeds the oceans, the seas that we know about. There is water that is beneath the water of the ocean. There's water that's beneath the ocean floor. Now, we know this just from under the crust of the earth, on land and on sea. We now know that there is water, and there's still a lot more water that's under there. Further, Psalm teaches us even more than that. Psalms tells us that God keeps the waters of the seas in a heap. That's a picture of God is saying, I have these waters. These waters are contained in the oceans. But He also tells us that He has waters in deep storage beneath. Wow. His Word says this. This is Psalm 33, verse number 7. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. The waters, that second part of that, the waters of the deep in storehouses. The waters of the deep that are spoken about there, those aren't the waters of the ocean. These are waters, you have to look at the words. These are the waters of the fountains of the great deep, what the Word calls the great deep. And the great deep is what opened up to allow all those floods to begin, all those floods that were a part of that great flood during the days of Noah. So watch this in Genesis chapter 7. In the 600th year of Noah and Noah's life, in the 17th day of the month, on that day, all of the fountains of the great deep. This is talking about the waters that are underneath, the waters that we saw in Psalms. It's the waters that were in deep storage beneath. The fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, all of this about the fountains and the waters underneath, all of those things have been undiscovered, unknown by man throughout almost all of human history. But God, who created all things, He revealed those things to us through His Word. Now, 2 weeks ago, Ed Zippe was showing some things to me, and I'm going to show you this in a second. But technology from last century, technology finally allowed us to see what is beneath the waters of the ocean. So I want you to see this. This is called the World Ocean Floor Map. Technology shows us what's underneath. Guess what technology showed us? It shows us that those things that God's Word says are right there evidenced before us. This is showing us, see all of this? That is showing us exactly what the Word is saying. That is showing us these are the cracks that opened up. If you go back to the original word, it actually says in the Hebrew to knife up. You can see these are all the places where the water knifed up from the great depth, opened up to flood the world. This is where it all took place. Everything that God's Word is showed to us, demonstrated to us, right there for us to see. And it's really astonishing. Man, when man says there was no global flood, I don't know how he can say that. And look at this, when the evidence is right there. Now, there's a lot of people that say, well, it wasn't really a global flood. It was just a local flood that the Bible talked about. So a local will be right here. Look, this doesn't look very localized to me, right? So that is just showing us. It's the evidence of what the Word of God said, the things that the Word says. If we stir up our sense of wonder, we get to understand and see even more. And he shows us more. Now, is that all pretty cool?
Yeah.
Now you're ready to be really amazed?
Yeah.
So Ed Zippe, after like 2 weeks ago, he was sharing some things with me. And it was right after I had shared, I forget why I even shared it, but a small part of my message was about Caesarea Philippi. And so Ed was sharing some things with me about Caesarea Philippi. And he gave me a book. And in that book, there's a creation scientist. And this is fascinating. This creation scientist suggests that we can localize on the globe exactly where all of these cracks, where the great fountains of the waters underneath, he suggested you can easily determine where all of this started. Where did it begin? All of that you see. You know where it started? Caesarea Philippi in Israel. Caesarea Philippi in Israel. Let me show you a picture again of Caesarea Philippi. If you were there, you'll remember this. It's a beautiful spot. But Caesarea Philippi, if you remember, this is a place where idolaters were continuing to offer worship and sacrifice to the false god Pan. And you see that cave there in the center in the top? If you go in that cave, you will see there's a deep hole, there's a deep pit, and there is a deep well of water inside that. And throughout most of human history, idolaters have said, generation after generation after generation, they have said that that cave and that hole with that water, the pit of water, they have said that is a door to the underworld, to Sheol, to the place of the dead. That's what idolaters have believed for generation upon generation upon generation. Now, I heard that. And then I started thinking about some of the things I read a few months ago when I was reading about Jonah. And I thought, Jonah talks about going into the deep. And he talks about how he went into the deep and was taken down to Sheol. And he even talks about a door of the world that was closed behind him. Indulge me just to read 6 verses. This is Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. I mean, picture, where's Jonah in all this? He's in the belly of the whale going down deeper and deeper into the depths. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. Same floodwaters, still in existence. And your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The depth closed around me. Weeds were entangled around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. This is a picture of a door being closed from the world as he is in Sheol, the depths. Now, the earth with its bar closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. Oh, man, can you see the correlation between these things? If we have a sense of wonder about everything around us in our creation, just have a sense of wonder. Ask some questions. Ask the Lord. Show me more. He's going to send someone across your path with information like Ed gave me, or he's going to send you to different places. He will show you. I told you guys before, this is years and years ago when I first learned this concept. This is well before we have, cell phones that we can just Google things. I just had this fascination. I wanted to learn. Don and I were at a restaurant. We saw a neon sign, and I wonder how neon works. And I had mentioned this like 3 or 4 times to Don, and we go to restaurants. I'd see neon. How does it work? I don't know. Within just a couple of days, the last time I said that, Don and I went on vacation. We were down in Florida. We were in Fort Lauderdale. One of our favorite bookstores is a Barnes & Noble right there in Fort Lauderdale. I went into the Barnes & Noble. We had been there enough. I knew what section was science. I'm not thinking at that moment about fluorescent lights, or neon lights. I'm just thinking about, I want to learn some science. So I go to the bookshelf for sciences. I just grab a book. I didn't even see what it was. I pulled it out. I opened it up. The two pages I opened it up to, just that quick, two pages on how neon lights work. See, if you've got a sense of wonder, Jesus will do whatever he has to. Holy Spirit will take you and show you things you did not know. And the more we have a sense of wonder of those things, the more he joyously and delights in showing you so that you can understand even greater things. Even greater things. Now let's go back to Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is also the same place where Jesus brought his disciples. And he asked them that most difficult of all questions. So at that very place, that very location where it's suggested that all of the flood began, at that very location where the flood that cleansed the world of all the filth and all of the evil, and yet were men still, during the days of Jesus, still participating in evil. At that very spot, that's the spot that Jesus asks his disciples, and he asks you and I, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, and Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded to Peter, and Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father who was in heaven. Peter had developed his sense of wonder from the time that he had been walking with Jesus and seeing signs and wonders, the supernatural and the miraculous. Peter developed his sense of wonder, and now in the sense of wonder that he has, Peter's now ready to hear and understand deeper things, the deeper spiritual truths. And because of that, Father God himself revealed to Peter that ultimate spiritual truth. That is our example. These are the things that we can have if we develop that sense of wonder. Develop your sense of wonder. It leads to expectations. Those expectations then lead to hearing and knowing more, and it prepares us. It opens up our hearts and prepares us to see signs and wonders taking place today, which you need to see, I need to see, and the world needs to see. We need to develop our sense of childlike wonder. And when we develop that sense of childlike wonder, it does increase our expectations. Then, with our increased expectations, then we will begin to see the supernatural manifested here in the world. But you also get to receive that intimate and that personal insight and revelation right from the throne of God, just as Peter did. You're no different than Peter. You can have the exact same things. So we began this morning by stirring up our sense of childlike wonder, by learning about the sensitivity of our ears and eyes that God created in us and how he designed them. God created us to be sensitive to his creation. But he also created us with spiritual ears and spiritual eyes so that we could see and know the things of the kingdom of God and that we could also see and know those things as they are manifested here in this world. Stir up your sense of childlike wonder when we leave here today. Jesus, we thank you and praise you. I just knowing how you have shown me personally your delight in revealing things to me so that I can understand. You do that for all of us. We stir up our sense of childlike wonder at your creation, at you, at your word. We stir up our sense of wonder and we're excited. We anticipate the things you're going to show us, the things you're going to reveal to us, the things you're going to speak to us, and how you are preparing our hearts so that we can see the manifestations of your things from the spiritual realm here in this natural realm. And we give you the praise and the glory for it in advance. In your name, Jesus, amen and amen. If you believe that, give him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand up. Stand up. Just keep just praising him as we end with praise of song or a song of praise.